Welcome to the Arlington Street Church podcast. Founded in 1729, Arlington Street continues today as a gathering place for progressive people of faith in the greater Boston area and beyond. We are located at the corner of Arlington and Boylston Streets, across from the Public Garden in Boston, Massachusetts. Please visit ascboston.org for more information about this historic Unitarian Universalist congregation. Arlington Street Church, gathered in love and service for justice and peace.
In the early morning of March 12, 2006, two vans carrying four adults and eight high school juniors and seniors pulled into an abandoned neighborhood of the 7th Ward in New Orleans, Louisiana. Katrina's storm surge had reached the rooftops here. Everything was lost under more than 10 feet of flood water. The only sign of life was a FEMA trailer parked in the narrow side yard of a house near the freeway end of the block. Someone was living alone here in this utter wasteland. Someone with no other choice, perhaps, or with some kind of undaunted determination to remake a life here, or maybe both. That someone was Miss Doris, and we'd come armed with hammers, crowbars, wheelbarrows, face masks, and protective eye covering to throw our collective weight to the side of that faithfulness and gut her ruined house. I hopped out of the van and climbed the flimsy metal steps of the trailer. The kids stood around on the overgrown sidewalk, incredulous at the devastation. I wasn't entirely convinced that Miss Doris was expecting us. I knocked hesitantly. And then she was there, filling the narrow doorway. I introduced myself because I wasn't sure how else to begin to speak with this sturdy elderly woman who had nearly perished in the deluge, who had lost family, friends, neighbors, and church. I said, "Miss Doris, we've come to help you." Looking stunned, she took my hand and surveyed our motley crew. "You it?" she asked. And I nodded yes, though I wasn't sure how to read her incredulity or what it meant. I will never forget the look on her face. Slowly, she turned to address the kids from her little stoop. "For a year and a half now, every night and every morning, I have prayed to God to send someone to help me. And now you have come. Here you are, my angels. Praise God." Her voice hung in the empty air like a blessing. And for a moment, we were all completely still. I was undone. I'm undone telling the story again. My eyes filled just tears of grief and shame for all this woman of great faith had suffered. Tears of gratitude for the chance to begin to make right something so wrong. And the teenagers, having never been asked to do more than a few household chores to earn their allowance, were suddenly agents of the God of justice and mercy. They went into motion like a fantastic machine, working relentlessly, complaining only when we would force them to go outside to take a break from the billowing dust generated as we ripped out walls and ceilings, or to rest from hauling wheelbarrow loads of debris to the street. They had never been so determined or so proud. They were Miss Doris's angels. And it changed them. It changed all of us forever. The first teaching of the Buddha was do no harm. And the second teaching was act for the good. Do no harm, act for the good. And the highest form of acting for the good is generosity. My entire life can be seen through the lens of generosity, specifically the generosity of Unitarian Universalist congregations. My father disappeared when I was 10 years old. My mother was plunged into a state unequal to parenting. And over the ensuing years, it was members of the church who fed me, who helped send me to summer camp, who hired me to work as their nanny, and who, through the local Rotary Club, provided me with a scholarship to college. Even though I didn't have the language for it then, by the time I was 12 years old, I knew that I had already accumulated a lifetime of karmic debt and began to prepare for our ministry with the faint hope of repaying some of their generosity. I have tried, and I will continue to try, but I will never be able to repay that debt. Buddhist teacher Joseph Goldstein writes in a wonderful kind of reciprocity, we are invited to give because of love. And in the act of giving, we feel more love. Generosity becomes stronger and more delightful the more we engage in it. To train in generosity as a spiritual practice, the instruction is to follow our impulses to give. Don't let them pass you by. Paul, a friend of my friend Sylvia Borstein, was driving across the states from San Francisco to Boston to begin a new job. When he got the news that the National Bone Marrow Registry was trying to locate him, Paul had registered with them some months earlier, and having met someone whose life had been saved by a transplant, when he phoned the registry from Western Kansas, he was told that he was a match for someone who was acutely ill in New York City. Paul called his new employers to postpone his arrival by 3 days. Drove to New York, checked into a hospital, spent 3 days there, one prepping for surgery, one for the bone marrow transplant itself, and one recuperating, then checked out of the hospital, drove to Boston, and showed up for work the next day. The transplant was successful. And the rules are that if both parties agree to meet 1 year after a successful transplant, each can learn who the other is. Would you want to meet your recipient? Paul said, I don't want to know. I am having such a good time not knowing. I pass people in supermarkets and I think, maybe that's my person. Or I think about that man sitting next to me on a bus, or the young girl looking out the window whom I just see in passing and I think, maybe that's my person. Since I don't know for sure, I can imagine that everyone is my person. It's much better this way. That's another cut on generosity. This time, heeding not only the call to serve, but the call to help save a life. I love Paul's no big deal attitude. I strongly suspect he's like that all the time. If you need it and he has it, he'll give it to you. And though we might choose otherwise, we can appreciate the gift of his decision to remain anonymous, being filled with joy by the possibility that every life might just be the one he saved. Generosity is not only about service or lives. It's certainly not only about stuff or money. It's also about energy. American dancer and choreographer Martha Graham wrote, "There is a vitality, a life force, an energy, a quickening that is translated through you into action. And because there is only one of you in all of time, this expression is unique. If you block it, it will never exist through any other medium, and it will be lost. The world will not have it. It is not your business to determine how good it is, nor how valuable, nor how it compares with others' expressions. It is your business to keep it yours and directly to keep the channel open." In other words, each of us is called to do our part, to open our minds, our hearts, our hands, and give ourselves to the world. Here's one more story about generosity. In 1999, American conductor Ben Zander took the Youth Philharmonic Orchestra to Cuba. They began their concert in Havana playing two pieces with the National Youth Orchestra of Cuba. An American and a Cuban child shared the music at each music stand. The first piece, written by Guido Lopez Galivan, the conductor of the Cuban orchestra, was colorful and brilliant. Ben Zander had decided not to prepare his young musicians in advance. He wanted them to learn the piece from the composer himself. Maestro Lopez Galivan began rehearsing his work, but it was quickly evident that its complex Cuban rhythms were beyond the American kids. They had just never seen anything like it, and they simply couldn't play it. After giving it his best, the conductor resigned himself to failure. "I'm afraid this isn't going to work," he said from the podium. "We'll have to cancel this part of the performance." Ben Zander couldn't accept that. He wouldn't accept it. One of the most important parts of the tour was the opportunity for the Cubans and the Americans to play together. He leapt to the stage and took over. And through an interpreter, he said to the young Cuban musicians, "Your job is to teach these rhythms to your music stand partner." And to the Americans, he said, "Just give yourselves to the leaders sitting next to you. You will get all the support you need." Then he asked Guido Lopez Galivan to try again. Imagine what ensued. The focus shifted from the conductor of the orchestra itself to the orchestra. The young Cubans became fantastically energized, exuberantly conducting with their instruments, each leading along the American partner enthusiastically. And the American kids, basking in that lavish attention, gave themselves to the process and began to play the rhythms the way they were meant to be played. The maestro was well pleased. And then it was Ben Zander's turn. He had chosen to conduct Leni Bernstein's overture to Candide, what he calls a fiendishly difficult little masterpiece. The music is so tricky to play that he had sent the score down to Havana 3 months earlier to give the Cuban kids a chance to prepare. But when he asked if they had enjoyed learning it, he got only a blank stare. As it turned out, the music was languishing at the Havana post office. The Cubans had never seen it. Maestro Zander felt his panic rise. The American kids had taken months to learn it. Standing before the orchestra, frozen, he suddenly realized that the young musicians seated expectantly before him were smiling. Why not? Now it was the young Americans' turn to lead. Springing to life, they led their stand partners through it, and it came off perfectly. A stunning equation. Generosity plus generosity equals beautiful music and beautiful community. I love what it says to each of us about taking our place in the orchestra of life. It's really a very Unitarian Universalist metaphor. Really, the maestro may and may not be wildly conducting, but the point is that we're all focused on helping each other along with the music. And as always, when generosity is in play, the sum is greater than the parts. What we make possible together is so much greater than what we do alone. Today is a celebration of generosity here at Arlington Street, as we renew our great covenant of love and service and pledge our financial support to Arlington Street and to our work in the world. It's a special Sunday, and in many ways, it's no different from any other Sunday. This is a congregation with a deep spiritual practice of generosity. But what makes this year's covenant renewal different, more than any other in my 35 years of ministry among you, is that today we pledge our devotion, our commitment to this community beyond my retirement. Today is a referendum on my ministry. Today, with all our gifts, yours and mine, we say, I'm all in. Today, we celebrate the resilience and promise of this beloved spiritual community, of this place. One for all, and all for one, dear ones. All in. Beloved spiritual companions, may we know the great good fortune of being someone's angel, and the joy that comes with generosity, imagining that everyone might be our person. Let us lead and follow one another through the hard parts, supporting and supported, confident in the beauty we create together, and pleasing the maestro. And may our generosity, today and always, bless us and keep us all the days of our lives. Amen. And now for our benediction, I invite you to put your hands over your heart in namaste. I bow to the divine in you. The words of W.E.B. Du Bois, co-founder of the NAACP and the first African-American to earn a doctorate from Harvard. The prayer of our souls is a petition for persistence, not for the one good deed or single thought, but deed upon deed and thought upon thought, until day calling unto day shall make a life worth living. Let us keep this faith, beloveds, and pass it on. The service begins when the service ends. Bless your hearts. I love you. Amen.
please visit ascboston.org for more information about this historic Unitarian Universalist congregation. Arlington Street Church, gathered in love and service for justice and peace.